I'm Brad Fulcher, your host. And with me today, we're welcoming a new face to the DC Comics News podcast family, Sharna Jay. Sharna, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Excited to be a part. How are you doing?
Good, good. Welcome to the podcast. It's great to have fresh faces and new, you know, new opinions and takes on these stories. We're going to be talking movie news, TV streaming, and some comic news. But first, we're starting off with a sad story. John Romita Sr. has passed, and he is definitely a legend in comics. So, Sharna, what was your take on this and your experience with his work?
Oh, yeah, the news was definitely incredibly sad. You know, like I posted about him on my Instagram, I'm glad it was like old age and not anything else, but he's definitely like a remarkable person and iconic. Like, if you think of like the 70s, 80s comics, that style, like that's him. Like, he designed that and was that influential. I remember, like, he's made that iconic, you know, Peter Parker look. Like, that's what you remember. Like, Spider-Man 2, that movie where Tobey Maguire throws it in the bin.
Yeah.
That's classic, like, that image, that cover. Romita drew. Also, like, I adore his, like, takes in, of course, on DC Comics and his influence there. Like, we know him very well for, like, I think designing, like, Wolverine and characters like Kingpin, but yeah, just very, like, his artwork's very iconic. You see it, and not only people don't even know his name, but they're like, that's that style from the 80s. So definitely, like, a lot of people I knew, they were very saddened by this news, and well, he's gonna go down in history. So that's fantastic. Like, he did work. Yeah,
he's definitely an icon. You know, it's one of these things. It, you know, we are losing more and more of these legends, but what a life. Living to 93, if you lived that long, that's such an accomplishment in and of itself. It's, you know, he left a legacy, and his son, I love his son's artwork too. I love his artwork. It's such a family, you know, legacy that's going on. You know, it's just a shame that we're losing all these legends, but he's got, you know, and you brought up probably one of his most iconic works, the Spider-Man No More walking away in the trash can. That has always stuck with me from my early days of collecting comics. So it's just sad, but if there's a comic Hall of Fame, he definitely should be inducted. It's a shame, but what a legacy. And now we're going to move on to a little funner news as we move into our movie news. The new animated movie Justice League War World has got a trailer. So I know you just recently watched the trailer. What did you think? Are you going to watch it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. DC animated, like, movies, they're always top notch, you know? Like, you know, the movies have some bumps, like the real action, the live action ones, but you can't go wrong with DC animated movies. They're always like a kick to watch. And this one, I love it because I love playing Dungeons and Dragons, so it has, like, that feel in it. It looks like, you know, fantasy mixed with superheroes and my fave superheroes. So, yeah, I'm not missing that one. And the animation, gorgeous. Like, I'm excited. I like that, the bold linings with the moves. Very excited for this one.
Yeah, you'll fit in well because we have what we like to call the hive mind here on the podcast, where we all have the same opinions. And one thing that all of us on the team agree with is that you can't beat the DC animated movies. I mean, hands down, they are just so incredible. And this one looks like it's right up there. I love the mix of the black and white and the colored animation. I love seeing Jonah Hex using those more obscure characters in it, and yeah, it's gonna be fun. I'm definitely gonna be checking this out when it's released. And we're moving on now to news from the upcoming DC Universe batch of movies. Andy Muschietti, who directed The Flash, it looks like he's going to be directing the Batman Brave and the Bold movie, which will be the introduction of Batman to James Gunn's DC universe. I don't know if you've had a chance to see The Flash yet, but what do you think of him as a director for the Batman movie?
I haven't seen The Flash yet. And that's, I'm trying to build up like the guts to watch it, because I'm going to be excited, but definitely there's some controversies on that. But from what I've seen with trailers and what I've heard of opinions, I think this is a good director to take on, like, action-wise. So exciting. Batman movies, no matter what it is, they're always going to be fun. Even Batman Forever, it's still one of my favorite movies. So I think always going to be looking forward to, like, a new one coming up. And I wonder, Brave and the Bold, is it anything to do with, like, that the animated series that happened back in 2005 or 2015?
You know, I don't think it is, but when I hear Brave and the Bold, what I think of is the team up. And it looks like Robin is going to be in this. So that's kind of a little bit of a team up. It'll also be Robin's first live action appearance since 1997, Batman and Robin on the big screen. Now, we've got him on Titans, of course, but this will be his first big screen. Of course, he did get a little mention at the end of Dark Knight Rises, but so that'll be fun. And as far as Muschietti goes, I think he could do a great job. James Gunn seems to really love his work. He was, saying so much about how he loved The Flash. It was one of the best superhero movies he's ever seen. So it's obvious that he's a fan of Andy Muschietti's work. And he says in the story that Andy Muschietti's love for DC shows on every frame of that movie. And that's a good thing. And that's something you want in a superhero movie. When a director really loves the character, that really shows. And it makes for a better movie. And I think that so far, Andy's got everything needed to make a good Batman movie. So, yeah.
I heard you've watched the movie with The Flash. Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. I had issues with a lot. And Ezra Miller, yes, that's a whole big controversy. I would like to do a spoiler podcast just on The Flash, because there's a lot to unpack and a lot to talk about when you see it. But yeah, I mean, it was good. Yeah, it was really good. And we are also hearing that Bill Skarsgård might be Alec Holland, the Swamp Thing, in the DCU Swamp Thing movie. That is supposed to be a straight-up horror movie, so that's an interesting casting choice. So what did you think of this?
Oh, fantastic choice. when I saw his name, I was like, oh, he's going to nail it, because it was the creepiest movie I've seen in the 2010s, I think he nails like that creepy look. He's such a flexible actor, because I've seen him do roles where he's like a very, very regular, normal, handsome human being. But then in horror, he's so good. So I think that's a great spin. And one of the things I've loved about like DC is that they've been able to make things like horrifying and scary and like that kind of horror genre, comic books and films. So I think it's a good angle for a movie on DC, like a good way to go, because they do horror well, I think, as comic book movies go.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think one of the things that I like about the idea of Bill Skarsgård being the Swamp Thing is that he does have that pedigree and that history in horror. I mean, he was Pennywise. You can't get more horrifying than Pennywise. So, you said flexible, and I think that could also more apply to like a physicality too, because he was very flexible as Pennywise, and maybe they can use that in a way where there'll be less CGI and more real actor, a Swamp Thing. So that would be interesting to see, but I think he's a great choice as both the Swamp Thing and Alec Holland. So yeah, that definitely has my approval at this point. I think if they announced anybody else, I'd just disappointed. So I kind of hope that works. And it looks like they're about to begin screen tests for Superman Legacy. So we might have some casting news in the weeks ahead. What do you think of this?
Oh, that's also so exciting. I think they were trying to do something brilliant with like the Man of Steel like films with Zack Snyder. Like I thoroughly enjoyed that movie, but I'm so looking forward to like a Superman movie where like I guess a different take. Each time they've made like there's been actually a few Superman movies, but yeah, each time they make it a different take. But I'm excited for a new way of showing Superman. Like I hope they bring back his sunny disposition. I really like that. It's been really great in the series, which we'll talk about soon. But yes.
I think it's always smart to go with a lesser known actor as Superman, because you have to see him as Superman and not as the actor. And give me a second here and I can read the people who they're talking about screen testing, which is kind of interesting. We talked about this on the podcast a little before, but we got David Corenswet, who was in Pearl, which I'm not familiar with. He's being considered. Nicholas Holt may be auditioning too, and that would be a very interesting choice, because he's a great actor, but he doesn't necessarily fit what you think of as Clark Kent or Superman. So if he would get cast, I think that would, I'd be very curious. Tom Brittany, who was in Greyhound, who I'm not sure with. So we got these actors that aren't very well known, and I think that's a smart way to go. So I'm trusting James Gunn's vision. So as these screen tests continue, I hope we get news quickly. And as far as Lois Lane, Samara Weaving is another great actress. I think she would be great. And Rachel Brosnahan, who is the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, of course, would be a very interesting choice. And I think she's petitioned for it some on social media, so that could be a fun take. So yeah, I think that's a good sign that the things are continuing, and I hope that means that the writer's strike, they can find their way to work within those confines to get things done, so it doesn't get delayed, but it probably kind of will. And next up, we're still continuing with the DCU stories here, is that James Gunn says that the Blue Beetle movie, he's going to be the first superhero in the rebooted cinematic DC universe. What do you think of this?
Wow, Blue Beetle, like from my experience with watching him on animated series pop up and in comic issues, he's a great character for representation. I'm wondering, I've seen him, is this, which Blue Beetle would this one be? Like I've seen him being queer, and I've seen him being Native American. Is he either one?
This Blue Beetle is Hispanic. It's the Jaime Reyes, but Ted Kord, who was the original Blue Beetle, is going to be a character in it. I don't think he's, as far as I can tell, they're not going to mention the original Blue Beetle. But that's true. It's going to be some good representation. DC's first Hispanic hero on film. So yeah.
Oh yeah. I think that's it's a very great step. I've always loved like the DC movies incorporating like diversity and different folks, like without, you know, making it look like it's stuffing down our throats. Like they've never brought up like, you know, Wonder Woman's our first like women superhero, like how others have, you know, kind of boasted about that. and they haven't like talked about like, you know, like how in Justice League, the movie, like people were like Samoan, people were queer, people were, you know, women and all those things. So I think, yeah, this is very like prominent and a great excitement to bring Blue Beetle in as the first like DCU movie. Very exciting.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense, seeing as how it's the first, The Flash was kind of the movie that's going to end this version of the DC cinematic universe. So since Blue Beetle's up next, it makes sense that they're going to incorporate him in what's to come. It does make me curious what if they're going to try to do some integration into a bigger scheme of things in the post-credit scene of Blue Beetle, if they're going to bring in some surprise characters or give us a hint of what's coming down the line. That'll be fun to see. Because that's, for me, that's part of the fun of these movies, is how they lay the groundwork for what's coming next. So, you know, James Gunn saying that makes me curious on what the after credit scene is going to be. And we're finishing up our movie news with a story that Becky G is joining the cast of the Blue Beetle as the voice of the Scarab. So I am not super familiar with Becky G. I've heard the name. I've seen her on social media. But what about you? Are you familiar with her? Do you think this is a good idea?
Well, I do love any new actors, you know, coming in and taking part in potentially blockbuster movies. I haven't heard of her, but, you know, hey, if she's coming in, it's awesome.
Yeah, I think she's also, I believe, I'm not 100% certain, but I believe that she's also Hispanic, so that continues on with the whole idea of the representation in Blue Beetle, so I think that makes sense. So, yeah, and that must be a fun role to do, kind of like a voiceover. It reminds me kind of Paul Bettany being the voice of Jarvis and then becoming the Vision in the Marvel movies. So, yeah, this should be fun to watch progress. And I think she may bring in a younger generation, because every post that I see about her, it is sort of like my younger Facebook friends and, you know, things like that. So that could be a draw for a more a younger audience, a more like not necessarily teen, but, you know, a pop friendly audience. So we'll see how that goes. And with that, we're going to move on to our TV and streaming news. Looks like season 4 of the Harley Quinn animated series is debuting this summer. And the Kite Man spinoff has gotten a new name. Now, I don't know about you, Sharna, but we here at the DC Comics News Podcast, we absolutely love the Harley Quinn animated series. In fact, we do a podcast we haven't recorded lately, but Mad Love, which is an episode-by-episode breakdown of the animated series. So we love the show here. So what about you? Do you like
it? I love the show. I've made all my friends sit down. I've had watch parties. I force everyone to know the show so I can talk about it. No, it's great. I'm so excited for season 4. It's in university, that was like 12 years ago. It was just like, you know, Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, power couple, you know, and it's something we always talked about. So this is very exciting. Looking forward to how their adventure continues. I love that they like delve into like their relationships, and also the jokes are so funny and relatable, and they talk about, you know, politics and mental health in such a cheeky way, and it's just accessible to, you know, queer folks and women and everyone else, like, on top of that. So very, very excited.
Yeah, you know, I love the show so much. It's one of my favorites. And the funny thing is, when before we recorded, we talked a little bit about New York Comic Con. And I remember seeing the first episode at New York Comic Con and not being really impressed. So I kind of put it on the back burner. And then when the season was done, people started talking about how good it was. And I binged the whole thing and I loved it. And it's just almost gotten better. It has been so good. So I'm super excited. I hope this keeps on going. And as far as the Kite Man, I thought, why would they not name it Kite Man? Hell yeah. It should have been the name from the very beginning. Why that wasn't, I have no idea, but I'm glad they came to their senses and renamed it. So yeah, there could be no other name for the Kite Man show. So
he manifested that title.
Yeah. And we got some news from Warner Brothers Animation, a little more news on Caped Crusader, it's coming, and some more little Batman animated shows and a Beast Boy animated show. So what was your take on this? Are you excited for these shows?
They're hosted by Cartoon Network, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. No, very excited. Anything that's come by them, and that's in combination with Batman or DC, has been really, really fun. But sounds like these shows will be really fun.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the Caped Crusader show on the podcast, and I'll go back to what I said before, that I'm just really glad that it's happening and didn't get canceled, because for a while there it was kind of in limbo, but then it got picked up by Prime, and then we have a Batman Family and these other Batman related animated shows. You just can't go wrong with Batman. You put Batman in something and it's like printing money. Easily the most popular superhero ever. And and people don't seem to get tired of it. No matter how many comics or shows, movies you put out, people will always be there. So it's a smart choice. And I think a lot of Batman animated series fans are going to be really excited, because it's kind of a spiritual successor to it. So I think that's going to be fun. And the Beast Boy show should be fun. This is the first I'm hearing of that. So I'm kind of curious to learn more about that show too. So yeah, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And speaking of cartoon, we got a trailer for My Adventures with Superman from Adult Swim. We saw the first trailer for that. What was your take on this? Does this look fun?
Oh yeah, I've been excited for that show ever since I saw that little sketch that came out. Animation style looks so cute, and I'm really curious why it's going to be on Adult Swim. You know, it looks adorable, so I'm scared. Superman looks so cute, I'm really excited for that one. That's definitely like on my immediate to watch list.
Yeah, mine too. And I said the same thing you said. Like, I can't understand why it's on Adult Swim. I just don't get it. And seeing the trailer doesn't give me any more answers. It looks really wholesome. Looks very, the big blue Boy Scout version of Superman. I don't get the Adult Swim thing. I like the anime design of the characters. That seems really cool. I don't know if you read it, but one of my favorite Superman stories, maybe even ever, was the Superman Smashes the Klan that came out. If you can, read it. And I kind of got a little feel from that, from the design of the characters. And I really like seeing that kind of come up again in my mind, because that was just one of my favorite stories recently. So yeah, I'm excited for this, and maybe we'll figure out why it's an Adult Swim. Maybe it's just be one of those things where, I guess they decided to put it there. I don't know. So we'll see. And we don't have that long to wait, because I think it's coming out in early July. I think July 7th or 6th, 2-episode premiere. So yeah, I'll definitely be checking that out.
What was that Superman title? Superman and the Klan?
It's Superman Smashes the Klan.
Okay, cool. We'll check it out. Yeah, excited.
Yeah. Classic Superman story, yeah. And some not so happy news, but to be expected, the Penguin TV series, the production is shut down because of the writer's strike. So it's sad, but what was your take on this?
It's sad, but there's already so many like projects coming out, and like Warner Brothers does a thing where they promise us a lot of things and then they don't deliver. So it's okay if something is taken off the list. And also writer's strikes are very valid. I know, I'm hearing what's going on over there. So it's okay. I can wait. As often we do with DC things, when it comes to live action, I can wait. I'm used to it.
This is like when the rubber hits the road, this is real life. So these writers need to fight for what they're fighting for. I'm glad that they just didn't ditch the Penguin, that it's still going. I'm willing to wait if it's if it means that these writers can work things out. If you notice about writer strikes, they tend to happen when there's big changes and shifts in technology. Like when we started having cable, they went on strike because dealing with how they're going to deal with the cable shows. And then there was DVDs, which dealt a lot in the 2008 strike. And now it's the streaming service and AI. So it just makes me wonder if, as technology progresses quicker, if we're going to have more and more of these strikes. So I just want them to sit down and get it straightened out and get them what they need, because I want my shows, but I want them to be taken care of first and foremost. So that's my take on that. And moving on. Now, another kind of not so fun story is that Gotham Knights has been canceled after one season on the CW. That's never fun to hear. What was your take on this?
I'll be honest, I didn't know the show was out. I heard about it, and I love Gotham Knights and all its concepts. It being canceled, I'm not super surprised, because it's so hard to keep a TV series going. It's not I'm not saying DC writes bad TV series. They're usually pretty good, but yeah, I didn't know it was happening. So it's sad. I hope if they ever bring up a project like this, because that's such a interesting story and idea. They I'm not sure why it got canceled. Was it bad writers? Was it bad actors? Was it not money?
I think really it's about money. I think it's about what's happening in DC overall with James Gunn taking over. All the CW shows have kind of been ended, so the Arrowverse is kind of wrapping things up. So I can't say it wasn't expected. I do think this show is. I think people expected it to fail right from the beginning. People didn't like that first trailer. But I think in ways that it was better than people were expecting. And I did think it had an audience. It just wasn't big enough. But I think at the end of the day, there's something to be proud of in the show. I'm sad it couldn't continue, but I can't say that I'm surprised. But on the good thing is that Gotham Knights may have been canceled, but Superman and Lois did get picked up for a small fourth season, which is really good news. What was your take on
that? That's awesome. very good news. It's one of the family favorites. My fiance and I, we watched that show together. It's so wholesome, so cute. It's a great depiction of a superhero balancing being a father, which often isn't talked about, now it is in these days, but of course for a long time it wasn't. So yeah, I love the actor, his name's skipping my name, Tyler Hodgson. Yes, he's so wholesome, such a great Superman. So yeah, very excited. I'm so glad they got picked up for another season. I really proper closure with a show. I need it from DC.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad that they did. And especially if they're introducing, and this we'll talk about actually in the next story, but they introduced Lex Luthor. So it would be a shame not to see those storylines go on. And they do, it's one thing that the CW shows always had going for them is that the cast always had a lot of chemistry together. And this cast for Superman and Lois is no different. You could tell they're working together. It just showed on the screen, and it was a great casting. So I'm glad that they can wrap it up, and if they do it well, hopefully they can wrap up the Arrowverse nicely in the last episodes in season four. So I'm glad that they get more time to tell that story. And also for the last season, Michael Cudditz, who plays Lex Luthor, are going to be promoted to series regular, which why haven't they already? But what do you think of this?
Oh yeah, well, same as you. Agreed. Why haven't they already? They is well deserved, and excited for it.
Yeah, I like Michael Cudlitz since Walking Dead, because he was Abraham, and I thought he did a great job in that, and how he seemed like a real stand up guy. He's come back and directed episodes of Walking Dead, and you know, he just seems like a good dude. So I'm glad to see him being able to be promoted, even though it's only going to be one more season, but still that's good to see. And that wraps up our TV and streaming news. Now we've got a couple comic news stories to talk about. Looks like Birds of Prey is going to get a new series and a new lineup. So what do you think of this this new team?
Oh, actually haven't heard too much about it. Who's in the team?
So it's Harley Quinn, Black Canary, Big Barda, of all people, Cassandra Cain, and Zealot.
Oh. So
that's who we're getting, yeah.
Sounds like a spicy team. It's going to be a good story.
Yeah, I just want to know how they're going to get Big Barda in there. That should be fun. And I'll be honest, I'm not super familiar with the character of Zealot, so that'll kind of be new to me. So yeah, it seems interesting. I just want to see how they work Big Barda into it. For me, that's what I'm looking forward to. But yeah, I think this will be a fun series. Kelly Thompson is writing it, and I've liked her work. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And we talked about Batman, and of course, Batman is getting a new Black Label series called Gargoyle of Gotham, and it sounds pretty intense. What do you think? Are you going to read this series?
Oh, yeah. I love all the, like, dark and grimy versions of Batman, and when they take it. I'm a big, I like gothic lore and horror, like, things and anything in that kind of feel, and I think the dark DC like comics, yeah, they've never disappointed me. I don't think so far, whichever I've come across. So yeah, I'd be reading it.
Yeah, the concept seems interesting. Bruce Wayne decides just to become Batman full stop and kill the Bruce Wayne alter ego, or I shouldn't say alter ego, I should say the real person. That is a great concept, and I'm surprised it hasn't been done before, and I bet Steve J. Ray can tell us when he's back on the podcast if that has ever happened, but it seems like that would be something that he would have considered at some point in his career as Cape Crusader. I always like when DC goes adult. You know, I've been a fan of the Black Label books, so yeah, I think this is definitely going to be one that I'll be picking up. And our next story, you mentioned before we also started recording that you wanted to talk a bit about Pride, so this is your great chance, because Pride 2023 issue is going to get a second printing. So did you pick up the first issue, or are you going to pick up a copy of the second printing?
I picked it up, but I haven't read it yet, because I just fell in love with the cover and all the alternate covers. It's gorgeous. Yeah, second printing as it should. I noticed that more and more like queer readers are opening up. Like my local comic book shop is just printed with Pride flags, and you know the two owners, like they're not together, but like they're queer, and they it's just been so welcoming DC to our stories and character development in this. And I think Pride, like, it brings a great highlight. And I think it's these DC comic Pride books that brought more attention that, hey, there are queer, like, comic book characters. Like, Midnighter and Apollo, like, they were always queer, but, like, until the DC Pride issues came out, they weren't highlighted, or people didn't think about it. You know, they were just background characters or characters that were only loved by small people. So, you know, I love the Pride issues every year. This cover looks like, yeah, like, so sparkly and queer. I love it. It definitely slays. I had a good look on the covers, and yeah, always a time of celebration when DC comes out with them every year. So happy Pride to anyone who's celebrating.
Yeah, definitely. We talked here about how much we love the covers. Yeah, the covers were great. And it seems like DC, when it comes to the Pride issues, DC really leads the charge. Those Pride issues every year are benchmarks. And the fact that it's going back for a second printing really shows that fans are reacting very positively. And I think it's something that readers look forward to every year at this point. And nobody, you know, nobody does the anthology books like DC. Going back to the when they had those giant issues at Walmart, the Valentine's, I think. So, and it's almost like the Pride issue is the cream of that crop even. So it's always, there's always definitely quality. The creative teams they get. And for the Kevin Conroy story alone, it's worth picking up the second printing.
Yeah, so, definitely. Yeah.
And the last story is that the John Stewart Green Lantern is getting a new series called War Journal. Are you going to be reading this?
I'll definitely pick it up. The first issue. I love John Stewart. It's been a while since he's been back, right?
Yeah. And it seems that the concept seems interesting that he thought his days as Green Lantern were done, but there's a tragedy in his family. He has to come back. So this seems like it could be kind of gritty. And I'm interested to see where it goes for sure. So with that, thank you very much, Sharna. Welcome to DC Comics News podcast family. Good to have you.
Thank you.
And we like to end episodes with people telling us where people can find you online, read your writing, things like that.
Well, find me. So I was like looking for the names of all the tags. I'm at Katsuya Crimson. I write for DC Comics News here and there, but more of a typical writer for Dark Knight News, our sister affiliate. So yeah, feel free to like search me up at Katsuya Crimson on Twitter.
Okay, great. That's where you can read my news and reviews at dccomicsnews.com. Find me on the Mad Love Harley Quinn podcast, which I talk about every week. also part of the DC Comics News podcast that includes I Am the Knight, which is an episode-by-episode breakdown of the Dark Knight series by Steve J. Ray. So definitely check that out. You can check us out wherever you get your podcasts, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we are there. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, at DC Comics News. And you can follow me on Twitter at FlickyB1. Now, since this is your first episode, Shana, we always end the episode with saying, read more comics. So we'll go ahead and do that. I'll say read, you say more, and I'll say comics. Let's do it. So everybody, read
more
comics. All right, everybody. Until next week, have a good one.
Thank you, everyone. Take care.
Bye.